Yeah. All right, Tibor, say let's begin. So today's daf is Kuf Tesvav. We're picking up on Kuf Yud Dalet Amud Beis. We have a lot to do today. We're picking up with Sover Rava. 2, 4, 6, 8, 9 lines up from the bottom. Sover Rava Lameima. Rava wanted to say Re'avon Eino Kimelchama, that famine is not like war. So we'll say, remember again, we saw yesterday that if a woman is overseas with her husband and she comes back and she says that he died, in order for her testimony to be believed, we need two factors to be in place. Number one, there has to be shalom between the two of them. Number two, there has to be general peace in the region in which they were in. And the logic that Gemara explained for the need for general peace is because if there's war, we're concerned that perhaps, again, she's going to see that he was stabbed or he was wounded or something happened, and she's going to automatically assume that he was killed without concrete proof to support that idea. So the Gemara calls bididomi. She will surmise or she will extrapolate based on circumstances that he must be dead, when of course such an assumption is not halachically enough to go ahead and indicate that her marriage is over. So Rava came along and said, he wanted to say that famine is different than war, because a woman will not go ahead and come to surmise that her husband is dead as a result of famine. Hada Amar Rava. Rava subsequently said, Re'avon harihu kimilchama. In fact, famine is treated like war. So, meaning, what that means is that if a woman comes and she was in a place where there was a famine with her husband, and she said that her husband died, so we'll see what she has to produce. But we assume that perhaps we're concerned that perhaps she didn't actually see him die; rather, she just assumed that he died because of the famine. The Gemara tells a story. There was a woman that came before Rava. Amrali, she said to him, Bali Mace, my husband died, Barav, in a famine. Amrala, so Rava thought that perhaps she didn't actually see him die. Rava said the following, Shapir Avarato, you did good, Dishazifas Nafsheikh, that you went ahead and you saved yourself. Sagadaitcha dahu porta dinafifas dishavkasle hava chaye. Because after Rava said to this woman, listen, it's good that you saved yourself, because after all, with the little bit of flour that you left behind for your husband, is it possible that he survived? So Rava was like leading the witness a little bit. So Rava was saying, look, you probably just left him with a little bit of food, and there's no way he could have possibly survived until this point in time. So the Gemara says, Amra Leir, so the woman said to Rava, Mar Nami Yada Dechi Haigavna Lo Chai. I see the master also knows that with such a little bit of food, there is no way that my husband could have survived. So we'll say so. And it turned out, and again, to be clear, this woman was not actively trying to mislead the court. But what came out was, she didn't see her husband died. She assumed that because he was a time of famine, and she left him such little food that he must have died. But again, halachically, to allow a woman to remarry, such a level of testimony is not enough. Hadam Rav then came along and said, Re'avon Grem Milchama. The truth is, famine is even worse than war. De'ilo Milchama, Ki Amra Meis Badi Milchama, Hodelo Mehemna. Because when it comes to war, and when do we not believe the woman? If she says, my husband died in war, she just simply makes a statement like that, my husband died in war, so that is not enough to allow her to remarry. However, Ha Meis Amitaso Mehemna. But if she says, he died in his bed, meaning, yes, it was wartime, but he died of sickness or he died in his bed, she's believed. When it comes to famine, ad the amra meis ukvartiv. She's only believed if she says what? He died, and I buried him. Mapoles. What happens if the husband was stuck? What happens if a building fell down on the husband? Rashi says, right, I buried him when he was dead. I want to be clear on that, okay? Yeah, okay, good. So Mapoles, so look at Rashi, Mapoles. Shenafa habayis alav. So we'll say this is a case of where a building collapsed on the husband. So what's the halacha over? Let's say the building collapsed. So she sees the building collapse on him, and she comes and she says, he must have died. So Mapoles hari kimelchama, darin bididami. So we'll say, so again, Mapoles, it's not enough to assume. The concern in a case of where the building collapses is that she may assume that her husband died, but at the end of the day, again, she's going to require more concrete proof than the fact that simply the building went ahead and collapsed. The Amrad Bedidami. Because again, here's also another concern where she may come to make certain assumptions about the fact that her husband died when in fact he didn't. Shiluach nechashim v'akravim, an outbreak of snakes and scorpions. It was a suggestion of that case of Mapolas. It sounds abstract to us, but unfortunately, again, not so long ago, during September 11th, so this was a major halachic question that came up. There were many, many potential aguna situations that had to be dealt with by major poskim with situations like this. And again, essentially, in some of these, each of these cases was dealt with differently. But in many of the cases, we know that unfortunately, so some of the floors of the Trade Center were just completely obliterated. So the floors in which, let's say, the planes flew into, we know were just incinerated. So obviously, in situations like that, where a wife knew that her husband worked on that particular floor, those cases were quote unquote a little bit easier to halachically ascertain. But that was the case of Mapolas, where again, just to simply say he was in the building is not enough to go ahead and automatically assume that Lamaisa he had died. The person has, there's certain halach criteria that had to be met. In any event, Shiluach Nechashim V'Akravim, what about an outbreak of snakes and scorpions? Harein kimelchama. So this is like a case of war, and therefore again she might make assumptions. D'arim b'didami. She might assume that he died under those circumstances, but lamaisa again the fact that there was an outbreak is not enough to assume that he had died. Dever. What about pestilence? Amrile harein kimelchama. Amrile kimelchama. So some say it's like war. Some say it's not like war. Amar la harehu kimochama the amri bididami. So some say pestilence is like war because again the woman may assume that he died in the outbreak of pestilence, but that may not be in fact be the case. Va'amri la'inu kimochama. And others explain that lemaisa again it's not like war. Why? The samchi ad the amri inshi, because after all people say shev shnin hava musna, a plague can last for 7 years. The inish below shani lo ozel, but yet people don't die before their time. So that apparently was a popular adage that simply meant people don't necessarily die in plagues. A plague isn't an automatic death sentence. Ibailu. So I'll say, now an interesting. So I'll say, what comes out in all of these cases, essentially the common denominator is like this, that there are certain circumstances where we have to be concerned that circumstantially a woman will assume that her husband died. I mean, that because of the circumstances that are present, a woman may automatically assume that her husband died, but halachically, we cannot automatically assume that that is the case. So in a case of war, in a case of an outbreak of pestilence, and it could even be that the statistical probability is that he died, but halacha lemaisa, if we have a chashash, if we have a concern that she's making assumptions about his death, as opposed to actually having seen or witnessed his death, in those cases, her word is not enough to allow her to remarry. Now another interesting case. Listen to this case. So now let's say she comes back. She says, we were in France. And what happened? And there was war in France. There was war in France. Right? There was war in France. And my husband died. Now let's see about saying. Now we did not know there was war in France. As far as we were concerned, France is a nice, peaceful country. So now she introduced us to this knowledge. So do we go ahead? So the Gemara says, Mahu, what's the halacha? So do we believe her in such a case? Mi arminam, do we say on one hand, Mala l'shaker, what motivation does she have to lie? Top of Kuftes Vav, di'i baya amra shalom ba'olam. I will say, you know, there's this idea of Mali l'shaker. Mali l'shaker means that if a person introduces a piece of information that we did not know until this point, so a person could have just as easily what? Have said nothing. Could have said nothing. So remember, we did not know that there was war in France, so she could have just simply said nothing, kept her mouth shut, and I would have assumed that it's a totally peaceful time without any kind of issues. But the fact that she introduced this information indicates what? Or almost like backs up the veracity of her claim. O Dilma, or on the other hand, Kevan da achzika amra bididami velo asi. On the other hand, no. Once she told us that there's war in France, she established the reality. Once she established the reality, then the halacha goes back to its default position, which is what? Which is that lemaisa, in wartime, a woman can't just simply believe to say that my husband died. So what's the halacha? Tashma. So what's the Gemara of Braisa? Ishnu aleinu bayis, ishnu aleinu ma'ara. If a woman says that we were in a house and Gentiles set it aflame, or we were in a cave and Gentiles set fire within the cave, Humes v'ani nitzalti. My husband died and I was saved. Ein on emenes. She is not believed. So we'll say, so what do you see from here? This seems to be the same case. Because remember, again, we didn't know there was a fire in the house. We didn't know there was a fire in the cave. She told us the information. And yet what? Even though she introduced the information, she is not believed to say that her husband died in the fire. To which the Gemara says, no, 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 that's not a good case. That's not a good raya. Shiny hasam da amar la, ki hechi de ledidach yisrach eshnisa, ledidei nami yisrach eshnisa. Because also in that case, you can say to him, look, the same way that you survived and it was miraculous, maybe your husband survived as well. So Tashma, the Gemara introduces another braisa. Naflu aleinu ovdei kochavim, naflu aleinu listim. A woman is saying, we were traveling and we were attacked. We were attacked by Gentiles, or we were attacked by bandits. Humeis vinitzalti, he, my husband, died, and I was saved. Ne'emenes, she is believed. So Rabbi say, here you have a case where what? Where lemaisa, again, she introduced to us the information, and yet what? We see, therefore, that we believe her. To which the Gemara says, no, 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 that is not a good case either. Hasam kid Rav Idi. That case is different as well. Like Rav Idi. Dom Rav Idi, Isha klei zaynu aleha. A woman carries her weapons with her. I will say, now what does that mean? If you look at Rashi, Rashi says, kid Rav Idi m'sechas avol, the zara perak ema amidin. So again, Rosa, the idea over here is that often a woman is able to extricate herself from these type of circumstances because there is something that the bandit or the Gentile wants from her, and that's her body. So because of that, by definition, a woman has a way. Now, it's not saying that she's complying or that she's, but the point is that often they will spare her for other immoral purposes. So because of that, often she can survive circumstances that her husband will not. Hahu Gavra, so the Gemara tells a story. There was a man, the Bishilhi Hilula, Itli Nura Beginoni. There was a man who at the end of the wedding feast, the wedding house caught fire. Also, remember, times of the Gemara, the way they would often make a wedding, I think they should reintroduce this practice. So they would build a house for the Chasan and Kala, and they would go ahead and have the wedding inside of the house. Think about it, right? This person spends tens of thousands of dollars on a wedding. You put a down payment on the house. You go ahead. I told my daughter this. She already got very upset. But all right, so in any event, so I said, you know, you put that money down for a down payment on the house. First of all, you dramatically cut down your guest list. Or you have it in the backyard. Whatever. I'm sorry, or it's a big house, right? I prefer to go to cut down with the guest list, right? So you do it in the backyard. Right? So they were in the house having the wedding, and the house caught fire. So what happened? Amar luhu devisu, chazu gavroi. So they're standing outside, and inside the house is a man on fire. Man on fire. And what happens? And the wife is saying, that's my husband, that's my husband. So what happened? No one was able to get into the house. After the fire subsided, so they entered the house. Asu chazu gavra charucha deshadi, upista didei deshadya. So they went into the house, and they found a charred corpse. They found the charred corpse and they found a severed hand. So Rav Chiya wanted to say, look, the truth is this kind of is pretty much the same case as where the woman came and told us that the Gentiles burned down her house or they lit a fire in the cave. Where we said before that what the halacha is that she is not believed to say that her husband died. To which the Gemara says, Amar Rava, how can you say that? Me dummy. Hasam loka amra chazu gavrai chazu gavrai. First of all, what are you talking about? In this case over here, she's standing outside the wedding house and she's saying, that's my husband. She's pointing to the man running around inside trying to escape the flames. That's my husband. Furthermore, again, va'od gavra charucha deshadi pista diade deshadje. To which the Gemara says, furthermore, again, there's a corpse. Right? In this case over here, you have two things. Number one, the woman said, that's my husband. Number two, there's a corpse inside the body. Rechiyah bar Abin would counter and he would say, no. Gavra charucha deshaje, eima inish achrina asa letzaluye, va'achil tenura, ufasta dida diada deshaje nura itlia. No, who says the corpse is the husband? Maybe ultimately what? Maybe the corpse was someone who came in to try to save the husband, and God forbid, unfortunately, was killed. And the arm, the severed hand, was a hand that was severed by the fire. V'is, so I saw what happened to the husband. V'is yalid be muma, Umachmis kisufa azul va'arak la'alma. It's interesting. And what happened? The husband was burned in the fire, and because he developed a significant mum, he was embarrassed again to face his wife. And therefore what? He ran away. Now obviously, the Gemara is not saying that that is what happened. What the Gemara is just saying is that in these kind of cases, again, without the ability to make a positive idea about the body, Rav Chiya bar Avin is saying is you can't automatically assume that Lamaisa, this is the husband. See, Bailahu. Someone raises another kasha. Bailahu. So we'll say now what happens. So remember, up until now, the case that we've been dealing with is where the case, the wife and the husband were overseas, and the wife is the one who comes back and says, My husband died overseas. And remember, so far we've established that if it's a time of war, then Lemaisa, again, actually based on what the Gemara said on Amud Beis, if she said my husband died in war, then we're not so quick to believe her because we're concerned that maybe he didn't actually die, but rather circumstances arose that made her think that she died. If she said, he died in the bed, right? Ultimately, he was sick or he was injured and he died at home, then Enoch Inami, we believe her. What about if one witness shows up and says, comes back and says, your husband died in war? Rashi says, Eid Echa b'Melchama, Melchama ba'olam, so it's an eid echad. I will say, we've established before that an eid echad is believed to say that a man died, right? That we've already established. The shaila is an eid echad believed even during wartime? So on one hand, we could say, the Gemara says, time of the eid echad mehemin mishum demils David lagluyehu lamashaker. So on one hand, they can say, why do we believe one witness? We believe one witness because a person is not going to lie about something that could be revealed. Right? People only lie about things that they can get away with. So if something is going to be revealed, the person is not going to lie. So this witness is not going to lie about the husband being dead. Why? Why? Because if he's wrong and the husband is alive and the husband comes back, it's going to be clear that he was a liar. So if that's the case, if that's the reason we believe in Eid Echad, see, even in this case, you should believe in Eid Echad as well. Oh, Dilma, the other possibility is Taima de Eid Echad Mishum dehi gufa daiko min siba, va'acha lo daiko min siba. On the other hand, perhaps the reason we believe in Eid Echad Abosai, which is kind of what we said earlier, which was what? That essentially, we shift the onus from the aid to the woman. And we say to the woman, look, we're going to allow you to get remarried on based on the testimony of this Eid Echad, with the understanding that what? That you are going to launch your own exhaustive investigation before getting remarried, because the stakes are quite high if you are wrong. But perhaps in a case of Milchama, we have to be concerned that she's not going to launch her own in-depth investigation. Why? Why? Because she's going to assume that her husband died as well. Therefore, we shouldn't believe in Eid Echad. So essentially, what the Gemara says is, it's a chakira in why we believe Eid Echad. If you believe Eid Echad because someone's not going to lie about something that will be revealed, so then the Eid Echad is not going to believe it, not going to lie in this case either. But if you say that the Eid Echad is believed because at the end of the day, a woman does her own investigation, perhaps I have to be concerned that in this case, she won't do her own investigation. Tashma, so let's listen to this. I'm Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva said, Kishi yaradati l'narda la'aber ashana. When I went down to Narda, remember Rabbi Akiva lives in Eretz Yisrael. When I went down to Narda to intercalate the year, to go ahead and make an Iber Shana, create a leap year, Matsasi Nehemia Ish Beis Deli. I found Nehemia, who was from Beis Deli. Va'amrali, and Nehemia said to me, Shemati Shein Masina Sa'isha Eretz Yisrael Pi Eid Echad. So Nehemia said, I heard that in Eretz Yisrael, they do not allow a woman to remarry based on the testimony of one witness. Ella Rabbi Huda ben Bava. There's only one person who allows a woman to get remarried based on the testimony of one witness, and that's Rabbi Huda ben Bava. Venamti lo, and Rabbi Kiva says, yes, and I nodded. I nodded to Nehemia. Kein Advarim, you are correct. Amrali, so Nehemia said to me, Rabbi Akiva, and more lahem mishmi, go back to Eretz Yisrael and tell the rabbis in my name, Atem yodim hamadina hazu mishubeshes begayasos. You know that this country is overrun with marauding soldiers. Kach mikublani mi Rabbi Gamliel azakin. I have the following tradition from Rabbi Gamliel the Elder. Shemasien ha'isha al pi eid echad. That you could allow a woman to remarry based on the testimony of one witness. So the Gemara says, my medina mishubeshes begayasos. What does it mean that the country is overrun with soldiers? Lav af agav de medina zu mishubeshes. Kach mikublani shemasien al pi eid echad. So isn't Nehemiah saying that even if it's a time of war where the country is overrun by soldiers, we still believe an Eid Echad to say that a woman's husband died? So what do you see? That here, even during wartime, we believe a solitary witness to say that a husband died. Amar Rav, Rav said, one second. Ihachi Maishna Medina Zu. So that's the case. Why did Nehemiah say this country? If Nehemiah is expressing a rule, he should say it generically. Any country which is overrun by soldiers, by definition, an Eid Echad is still believed to say that a husband died. This is what Nehemiah meant to say. Atem yodim shemadina zu mishubeshes begayasos. You know that where I live now in Arda, there are a lot of marauding soldiers running around. Velo ef shirli. And I can't come to Eretz Yisrael now to give testimony before you. But Rabbi Akiva, I want you to relay the following message. Kach mikubloni mi Rabbi Gamliel. This is my mesar for Rabbi Gamliel. Shemasien ha'isha api eid echad. That you could allow a woman to remarry based on the testimony of an eid echad, of one witness. So we'll say, therefore, that story does not bring a raya one way or the other to the question at hand. The question at hand still is, can you go ahead and rely on an eid echad to go ahead and allow women to remarry during wartime? So we'll say, just so you should know that, well, let's go a little bit weiter. Tashma. Ma'aseh b'shnei tamidi chachamim. So once occurred with two tamidi chachamim. Shayu ba'in im abba yosi. So we'll say, just so you should know, the way we pass in that situation is, we do not rely on the eid echad during wartime to allow women to go ahead and remarry. Well, I take that back. There's a concern of relying on an eid echad during wartime to allow women to remarry, because lemais, again, we assume that the whole reason that an eid echad is believed is because a woman will launch her own investigation. And because it's during wartime, there is that concern that a woman will automatically assume that lemais, her husband must have been killed, and therefore there's a concern. So we'll see. We're not finished with it yet, but we'll see. The halacha accepts the concern. Whether that means she can't marry, therefore, we'll see. Or perhaps there's another possibility, which is that we don't allow her to marry lechatchila, but what? If she did marry, then bidi eved, we would not make her leave her husband. So we'll clarify that. Tashma. So the Gemara tells another story. Ma'aseh b'shnei tamidi chachamim shayu ba'anim abi yosi ben simai b'svina. So there was a story about two tamidi chachamim who were traveling with abi yosi ben simai in a boat. V'tava. And the boat capsized, the boat drowned, and the two tamidi chachamim drowned as well. V'heisi rebi nisho sen api noshim. And apparently, again, the way that it became known that these two Talmidei Chachamim drowned was because there was a woman. There were women who gave testimony about the fact that these men drowned. Okay. So Gemara says, one second. V'ha mayim kimel chamodomo. So we'll say, water is like war. Now, what does it mean, water is like war? Because they'll say, what happens when people see a boat go down, right? They make assumptions. So they assume that the people drown. It's just like war, where again, the people assume that when people get injured or in the midst of war, they die. V'noshim afilu me'ekei dechad. And when women give testimony, that's the equivalent of an edechad. Yet what? V'katoni heisi. And yet it says that Rebbe allowed the widows, these two women, of these two tamei chachamim, to go ahead and get remarried. So we'll say, so what do you see over here? You see, it appears that based on this, that even during wartime, you could rely on the testimony of an eid echad to allow a woman to remarry. V'tis bro, the Gemara says, one second, let's analyze this. Mayim she'in lehem sof ninu. Umayim she'in lehem sof ishto asura. And I'm about to say, we're going to see this actually. We're going to do this sugya of mayim she'in lehem sof. Mayim she'in lehem sof means water with no end, which means water that when you can't see four banks. You can't see land around them. Mayim sheyesh lahem sof means water that has an end. You could see land around the body of water. Mayim shein lahem sof, you can't see land masses around the water. The Rabbi said the halachas we're going to see is that if a man falls into mayim sheein lahem sof, so let's say again we do not allow his wife to go ahead and remarry based on the fact that he drowned, because there's a possibility that maybe the current of the water took him off somewhere far away that we can't see. So the Gemara says, well, if that's the case over here, then how do they allow these women to remarry? Elahechi dami, what's the case here? Da Amri, the women said, askinhu kamon. No, so the women aren't just simply saying we saw them drown in the water. The women are saying what? That we saw people retrieve the bodies of your husbands. V'chazinhu la'altar, we saw the bodies when they were immediately brought up on dry land. I must say the chap over there is, because it's immediate, there's no decomposition or bloating. Because once there's decomposition or bloating, there's an issue with identification. So women are testifying. So women say, we saw these two talmidei chachamim, we saw their bodies brought up on shore. V'ka'amri simanin, and they testify about certain simanim on the body, certain identifying marks that clearly indicate that what? That these two men are the husbands of these women. And therefore what? Dilav alayu samchinan ella asimanin. That in reality what? In reality we're not really relying on the testimony of these women. What are we really relying on? The simanim that they found on the body. Hahu gavra. So if I would say, therefore again, that case is not a raya. Hahu gavra. So once we spoke about simanim, the Gemara now bringing up another interesting case. Hahu gavra da'afkid shumshimi gabri chavrei. So I would say there was a man that deposited a barrel of sesame seeds by his friend. So right, Reuven gives a barrel of sesame seeds to his friend Shimon to watch. Amrle, Reuven comes back and he says to Shimon, Havli shumshimi, give me back my sesame seeds. Shimon responds, Amrle, Shaklasinhu, what are you talking about? You already came back, I gave it to you last week, what are you talking about? So the Gemara says, V'hachein v'chein havyon, u'bechavisa ramyon. But Reuven says, what are you talking about? You see that barrel over there? That's the barrel I gave you. That's the barrel I gave you, the same barrel. And I'm telling you that there's 5 kilos of sesame seeds in there. So Amrle, Shimon says, listen, Didakshak, listen, I'm telling you, you took your sesame seeds. Vahani Achrini, this is another barrel of sesame seeds. This is my sesame seeds. Your sesame seeds I'm watching for Levi. It's not yours. So what's the halacha in this case? So Rav Chisda Neymar, Rav Chisda wanted to say that this is like the case, Hainu Shnei Talmidei Chachamim. This should be the case that we like the case that we just said about the two scholars lost at sea, and then what? Remember, their bodies were brought up on shore, and two women gave testimony about identifying marks on the body, and we could rely on their testimony regarding the simonim, and that testimony about the simonim was enough to allow the wives to remarry, and therefore, again, the Gemara says, Hanach azulahama vahani achrini ninhu. Because we'll see, here's what's interesting. Remember, when the bodies are brought up on shore and the women go ahead and say and give testimony, we saw the two bodies, and this one had a freckle on his cheek, and this one had a scar across his right side. So we take those simanim seriously, and we allow the women to remarry based on that testimony. But yet what? We don't say that perhaps there's another man with a freckle on his cheek or with a scar down his face. We do not make that assumption. We assume that the simanim go ahead and attest to the fact that these are these particular individuals, and we don't assume that there's another. So too over here, we don't say v'lo amrinan hanach azul amav hani achrini. We don't say that these two men perhaps went somewhere else, and these are two other bodies. So therefore, again, we'll say using that same logic, we would say over here that what? That when Reuven comes and says, listen, that's the same exact barrel I gave you. There's 5 kilos of sesame seed in there, and it is the same type of barrel, and it is the same amount of sesame seeds. We don't say that what? We don't say that, oh, no, Shimon, Reuven, that's not your sesame seeds, it's someone else's sesame seeds. And therefore, again, Shimon must be lying. Shimon, the guardian must be lying. So the Gemara says, Rava says, 1 second, me dummy, how can you compare these cases? Hasam kamri simanim, in the case of where the two talmidei chachamim died, and their bodies were brought to shore, and someone testified about identifying marks on the body. Those were unique identifying marks on the body. Hacha shumshimi my simna islahu. But here by sesame seeds are sesame seeds. What kind of simna are you going to have by sesame seeds? But you'll say, one second, but Reuven was able to say that there are 5 kilos of sesame seeds. The fact that he was able to say that there's the exact amount that's in the barrel, does that account for something? To which the Gemara says, no. Emar chushbina isrami. He just guessed the right number. Meaning the idea over here is being able to identify, being able to state the amount of sesame seeds in the barrel is not enough of an identifying simen. So are we really choshesh that perhaps, again, that perhaps the person who was, we'll call him the custodian, really swapped out the sesame seeds for something else? And I will say, now, what he's saying over here is, are we concerned? So let's go back for a second. So what we have over here is at the end of the day, Lemaisa, when Reuven comes back and wants his sesame seeds, the fact that the barrel looks the same, or is able to guess the amount of sesame seeds within the barrel, that apparently is not enough of a simon. That's not enough of a simon for him to claim those sesame seeds are his. So Mar Kashisha Barav Chista says to Ravashi, are we really choshesh shema finein? And I will say, shema finein means, are we choshesh that lemaisa, that even though the item that in front of me looks like it's the same item, that perhaps that item has been swapped for something else. V'hotnan, look at Rashi. If something has the same type of simen like it had when I originally deposited with the individual, are we choshesh that perhaps, again, even though it looks the same, it's not really the same object? V'hotnan, we learned, matzakli v'kasav alav kuf. Carbon. We'll say if you found a kli, and on the kli is written kuf, we assume that kuf stands for carbon, sacrificial items. Let's say you find mem written on the barrel, on the kli. So meiser, that stands for meiser. Dalit, you find a dalit. Dimua. So we'll say, remember again, dimua is like demai, which is questionable produce. Tes, tevel. Tov, truma. Shebesas hasakana. Hayukos fin tov. Tov tachas truma, because it was in a time of danger, and this is not just for truma, but in time of danger, often they would just write shorthand to identify the contents of the barrel. Amrali Ravina the Ravashi velo chay shinan shenafine nebosai. Now the fact that we say that what that lemaisa, whatever the letter is, that determines the identity of the contents, makes the assumption that what, that people don't swap out the contents of a barrel for something else. Okay, so Ravina says to Ravashi, is that true? And therefore, v'lo chayshinin shemafinin, and therefore we're not choshesh at all that someone swaps any of the contents out for something else. But yet, ema seifa, look at the end of that braisa, Rav Yossi Omer, afilu matzah chavis v'kasuv alea truma. If you found the barrel, and it was written on it, truma, Hare elu chulin. You do not have to assume that the contents of the barrel are truma, but rather you could assume that they're chulin. Why? Sha'ani Omer, because I say, ishtakit hava mali truma. Yesterday it might have been filled with truma, ufina, but it was probably emptied, and now it's just filled with chulin. So the Gemara says, Ella, so we'll say, what do you see from here? You see from here that you are that writing that just because something's written on a barrel does not automatically mean that identifies the contents within, and that people do in fact swap out the contents of barrels for other things. Ella de chuli alma chayshinu shamafinin. Rather, the Gemara says, you're right. In general, again, we are choshesh that people do in fact change the contents of the barrel for something else. The Hacha Bahakmef again. Here is what they're arguing about. Mar Savra, one opinion holds, Im Isa Divinahu, Michbar Hava Kafar. So one opinion says, yes, people do in fact change the contents of the barrel. But if you're going to change the contents of the barrel, what do people do? They erase that which is written on the outside of the barrel. Right? So someone's not going to go ahead and, if they take out the truma from the barrel, they're not going to go ahead and put in chulin, but still leave the tuff on the outside. Therefore, if the tuff is on the outside, then what does that show? What does that show? That it still is, in fact, truma. So people change the contents, but then they also change the outer markings. However, again, the idach, the other opinion, says, Emar, ishtaluye ishtali. You know what? You're right. People normally do change the markings, but sometimes people forget. Sometimes people forget. Inami lefan cheshavke. Or sometimes people don't forget. Sometimes people intentionally go ahead and leave the markings on the outside. Why? To get others to stay away from their produce. And I will say, if I don't want somebody touching my stuff, The best way to do that is how? Write truma on the outside, right? Because remember, again, unless I'm worried about my Kohanic friends, right? But assuming I'm not worried about my Kohanic friends, you know, the best, because remember, again, I will say, if a non-Kohen eats truma, that is obviously a very serious transgression. So this is the fundamental machlokes. So essentially, the Gemara says, no, people do, we don't automatically assume that the original contents of the barrel remain in the barrel. But the shaila is, if you have a marking on the outside, what's the nature of that marking? So first opinion says that if you go out and you change the contents, you also change the marking. Second opinion says, no, maybe sometimes people forget to change the marking, or other times people actually, dafka, don't change the marking in order to get others to stay away from the contents. Yitzchak Reish Galusa Bar Ach Seidir Abibi, Havi Ka'azil Mikortiva La'aspamya. This is actually an interesting case. So Yitzchak Reish Galusa. So Yitzchak, and I will say, now, this doesn't necessarily have to mean that Yitzchak was the Reish Galusa. Remember, Reish Galusa was the head of Babylonian Jewry. So it doesn't actually have to mean, sometimes it could just mean that he was someone very important. He worked for the Reish Galusa. He was a relative of the Reish Galusa. Whatever it is, he was known as Yitzchak Reish Galusa, the sister of Rav Bibi, so the nephew of Rav Bibi. Hava Ka'azlim the Kortava La'aspamya. He was traveling from Kortava to Aspamya. V'shachav, and he died. Shalchu mehasam, so they sent word from there, meaning from overseas. Yitzchak reish galusa bar ach seidir avibi hava ka'azim mekortva laspamya. V'shachiv, that Yitzchak reish galusa, the son, the nephew of Rav Bibi, was traveling from Kortva to Aspamya, and he died. To which the Gemara asks a very interesting question. Mi chay shinan l'tre Yitzchak olo. Are we choshesh that perhaps there's more than one Yitzchak? Now, Bosse, I want to point something out. The Ritva comments on this, and he says you can't take the words of the Gemara literally. Because you also remember, if word got out that Yitzchak, if the message came back that Yitzchak Reish Galusa, the nephew of Rav Bibi, who was traveling from Kortava to Aspamya, died, you don't have to be choshesh that that's someone else. Why? Because that level of specificity is, so rather what the Ritva explains is like this. Let's say word came back that a man by the name of Yitzchak Reish Galusa died. So do I have to be choshesh that perhaps there was another Yitzchak Reish Galusa out there? So again, I also remember, obviously the ramifications of this is, what do we do with Yitzchak Reish Galusa's widow? Right? Yitzchak Reish Galusa, the nephew of Rav Bibi, thank you. So the shaila now is, word comes back, could we assume that this is the man who died, or do I have to be choshesh that perhaps, again, there is another Yitzchak Reish Galusa out there? So Abai Amar Cheshinan, Abai says you have to be choshesh that perhaps there's another Yitzchak Reish Galusa out there. Therefore, before allowing Yitzchak Reish Galusa, the nephew of Rav Bibi's widow, to get remarried, you have to launch a more thorough investigation. Rava Amar Lo Cheshinan, and Rava says, no, we're not worried. So Amar Abaye said, how do I know that you have to be worried that perhaps there's another Yitzchak Reish Galusa? Dahu Gita de Ishtachach Benarda. Because Moshe said there was once a get that was found in Narda. Meaning they found the get. And what happened? A woman showed up in Beis Din saying, I lost my get. Then I will say, it's not so pasha to just return a get to a woman, because obviously, again, if it's not her get, then she could use that to prove that she's divorced. She could also use it to collect ksuva. So when you find the lost get, just because someone walks into business and says, hey, that's mine, we don't automatically give it back. So what happened? They found the get in Narda. Uksiv, and here's what was written in the get. Bitsant kulanya masa, and by next to the city of Kalani, because we're saying, and remember, we write cities, we also write next to which river. Androlinai Narda. That was his name. Andrew. Good. I, Andy, right? I, Androlinai Narda. Patris Vitachris Yas Plonis in Sasi. I divorced my wife, Plonis to Plonis, whatever her name was. Right? He didn't write that in the get. Well, I divorced what's her name, right? Right? That might be why the marriage didn't work. Right? So I went ahead and I divorced my wife so and so. And what happened? Patris, all right. So what happened to both? I said, now Vishok Abu Dishmola Kamid Rabbi. So now this woman, whatever her name was, right? We'll call her Rachel. So Rachel shows up and says, listen. I'm Rachel in that get. My husband was Andy, right? So can you give me back my get? So what happened? And the father of Shmuel sent a message before Rabbi Yehuda Nesiya, and he told him, Tivdak, Narda Kula, you have to go ahead and search throughout Narda. Is there another guy, Androliniai, right? Androliniai. Is there another Andy in Narda? If there's not another one, then fine. You could give the get back to Rachel. But if there's another one, Yati Chosh, maybe it's not this woman's get. So the Gemara says, what do you see from your Rabbah? Says, so you see that you are Choshesh. We see that again. Therefore, we would be Choshesh for another Yitzchak Resh Galusa as well. This is the proof, Rabbi. Rava, so remember, Rava says, we're not Choshesh for another Yitzchak Resh Galusa. What does he do with this case? Rava Amar, Im Isa Yivda Kala Olami Baile. Well, if that's the case, if I stop at Narda, right, why don't you go ahead and search the entire world for another Androliniyai? Maybe there's another guy out there who's also married to a Racha, because also remember, just because as the get was written in Narda doesn't mean they lived in Narda. Maybe they lived somewhere overseas. So Rava says, in the Davrasov, if you're gonna be Choshesh for another person with the same name, you know, it's never gonna end. So what happened? Ella Mishum Kivodo Davua Dishmuel Hu Dishalach. The Shalach Hachi. So Rava says something very interesting. Rabbi Yehuda Nisiya did not agree with the father of Shmuel. He did not feel that there was a need to look for another Androliniyai in Narda. So why did he do it? He did it out of respect for Avua de Shmuel. But he himself felt that it was not necessary. So we'll stop over here. We're ending right in the middle of this major machlokis. So again, remember Rabosai, in this case where Yitzchak Reish Galusa, the nephew of Rav Bibi, goes overseas, word gets back that Yitzchak Reish Galusa died. Machlokis Abayi and Rava. Can we assume that this is the same Yitzchak Reish Galusa, or must we be Choshesh that there's another Yitzchak Reish Galusa? Abayi says we are Choshesh, and he brings a proof from this case of the Get and Narda. Rava says we're not Choshesh, and feels that case in the Get Narda is not a good proof, because really Rabbi Yehuda Nisiya felt you don't have to be Choshesh for another Androliniyai, but out of deference to the father of Shmuel, they launched a search anyway. So we'll say to be continued tomorrow. Emir Tzah Hashem.